Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. Hey y'all, it's Pat. In case you haven't heard one of these before, you're about to hear a special Teaching Friday episode. We love our SPI Pro community so much. There are so many inspiring members of SPI Pro. So these episodes are one way we put them in the spotlight. These are bite-sized episodes. In each one, you'll get to learn something powerful from a member of our own SPI Pro community. Right now, we're actually about to celebrate our 2-year anniversary since launching SPI Pro. And the way the community has grown has been absolutely incredible. It's a fantastic way for entrepreneurs to connect, collaborate, and take their businesses to the next level. So if that happens to sound like something you'd be interested in, this is the right time to apply. We're all about value, not scale. So we're actually capping our membership and we're getting really close to that cap. And now's the chance to get in and apply. So if you want to get involved with other entrepreneurs like the one you're about to learn from, this might be your last chance for a while. You can head to spipro.com to apply. Again, that's spipro.com. And now just sit back, get ready to learn something awesome from this week's guest host.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your guest host. He's the only male in his entire family whose name doesn't start with the letter J, so he answers to just about anything, Finley Robinson.
Well, welcome to the SPI podcast, wherever and whenever this may find you. My name is Finley Robinson, and it is a privilege to get to spend some time with you today. I'm going to share some of my story and the life and the business that I am building together alongside of my wife. See, about a year ago, I decided that everything that I had been hearing and learning from Pat and his team over the years as I'd been listening to them and following them, I was doing it. I was going to pull the trigger. I was going to go all in, and my wife and I were going to go full time into our online business together. But let me tell you, when you leave your job from 20 years that you've been working at the same place for 20 years, there's a lot of people who have a lot of questions for you. They don't understand. They want to hear the story for themselves. And so I had a lot of time to sit down with various people from different generations and explain to them what I was doing. And here's what I found. When you sit down with someone and you share your story, they don't have to say a word for you to know exactly what they are thinking. See, a person's face and body language, most of the time, can tell you exactly how they feel before they even say anything back. When I sat down and told my friends and people in our community what I was doing to quit my job, to go work full-time alongside my wife, For most of the older crowd, I got a looks of confusion and fear. Why are you doing this? This isn't going to work. For most of the younger crowd, I got a whole bunch of looks of awe and inspiration. They actually couldn't believe I was doing it. And then from my peers, I got looks of concern. Man, are you sure this is the right time? But also there was a sense of pride. You're actually going for it. And it got me thinking, why the different looks from the different generations of people? Well, because working alongside your spouse has a very different level of acceptance and understanding depending upon what generation you're from. What I have found as a generalization, which isn't always fair, but can be helpful, the older generation was often taught, you should never work with your spouse, with your partner. And to be fair, historically, most jobs that people would work were at 9-to-5 companies and you would share the same office space and the opportunities for friction or burnout were often there. And to my generation, I'm in my early 40s now, it seems a little more acceptable, but it's probably less frequent than it is currently today. See, there's a generation entering the working years now, and it is way more acceptable. And honestly, what I'm watching, as I've spent a lot of time with people and kind of, you know, a decade or two behind me, this idea of working alongside your spouse, working together as a couple on a business is actually pursued and sought after. Now, to be fair, there's many more ways that a couple can actually work together today to generate some income and have this lifestyle that they are pursuing together that is independent from a 9-to-5 job that we've traditionally thought of as, you know, what work is. But today, when you think about all the various options for side hustles, for Airbnb rentals, to influencers, you can have your own retail space locally or online. You can be a traveling YouTuber. I've seen creative duo agencies, online creators. You see, couples today have more options than ever to explore using their gifts, chasing their dreams, fulfilling their passions and their calling, and to create an income and a lifestyle that is actually tied into their family and them together. So here's what the question then becomes. Is this a good idea? Is it a good idea to work with the person that you are paired most closely with? Or does this historical idea, the looks that I got from people that I talked to extensively, is it a bad idea to work with your spouse, to work with your partner? Well, as someone who's worked alongside his wife for 20 years, first in a part-time capacity and now full-time, my answer is, it depends. It actually depends on a lot of things, and that's what we're going to talk about together. A little background, hopefully some context as to why I'm here and what my experience is. My wife is super talented, like crazy off the charts talented. She's creative, she's winsome, she's warm, she's artistic, empathetic. People feel like they've known her for years after talking to her for 10 minutes. It's amazing. She started and been profitable at 3 different businesses in our 20 years of marriage. First, she was a painter, and then she was a photographer for a long time, and now she is a fitness creator and has her own online website, betribalfit.com. The only problem is, my wife, as talented as she is, she would do all of this for free. She would just give it all away. And actually, thinking through how to turn her gifts and expertise into a business is not something that she would ever consider, but that's where I've come in. See, I've heard of couples and partnerships like ours as framed as having two different types of people in this partnership relationship. One person is the wow personality, and the other person is the how. Honestly, it doesn't take a PhD to figure out who is who in our family. She brings the wow, and I bring the how. I help bring strategy and systems to her gifting. A lot of times I sit down and think through scale and figure out how to leverage technology or different ways that we can create a business around a lot of her gifts. My contribution isn't nearly as exciting or sexy, but honestly, it's necessary for both of us to contribute in order for our business to work. But here's the kicker. We've actually been able to do this, to create a profitable business that we are both living on at this time without breaking our marriage. Now, there are some things that have almost broken our marriage, but that's a whole different podcast, to be honest. I would say, from our experience, that working together has actually strengthened our relationship. It has brought a special kind of joy and bond that we now share because of it. So back to our question. Is it possible to have a successful business and healthy relationship together? My answer is yes. What I've experienced and witnessed in other people, I would say yes, it is possible to have both. But how? What is needed? What do you need to consider? And what do you need to embrace if you are going to be this kind of couple on this kind of journey together? Well, I've got three different checkpoints for you to consider for anyone who wants to explore this further. First, checkpoint number one is the need to simplify your priorities. Second, the discipline to stay in your lane. And third, you're going to have to find your own balancing act. And we're going to look further in depth at these three ideas for the rest of our time. So here we go. Checkpoint number one. If you are a couple who's considering this or has embarked upon this kind of journey together, you're likely a person with dreams and goals and gifts and desires. But the first challenge that you're going to face is that of your priorities. Actually, I have a love-hate relationship with the word priority. I think that everyone uses it because of its power and what it means to something. This needs to be your first priority. I think we've actually lost so much of its punch because when everything is a priority, nothing is. See, if we have a lot of priorities, we say we have a lot of priorities, what we actually don't have a lot of is honesty. Because when you make 12 things a priority, that means nothing is. And so the first challenge, the first checkpoint that a couple is going to face is that of your priorities. The question is, how do you only have a few true priorities and commit to seeing them through to completion? Sometimes your priorities are going to be different and you are going to have an honest discussion as a couple about what your true priorities are and what they should be. So my first action step for a couple on this journey together who's dreaming about this is you are going to have to make sure and write down and clearly define your priorities. Priorities pivot when they're not written down and defined. You're having a conversation. Hey, did you send the proposal? And oh, by the way, what's for dinner? Hey, who's picking up the kids? And did you get back with that person about the brand deal? It's so easy to have your priorities for the day, the week, the month move all over the place if you don't write them down and define them. You can never do as much as you dream in 6 months, but you can do far more than you think in 5 years. You know, most couples think that their high capacity and their ability to do it all at once is a great asset. The truth of the matter is, what we have found, it's actually costs me more in the long run when I don't sit down and simplify my priorities first. Once you've made progress on this, once you've established your set of priorities, the second thing that you have to do is you have to take the position of someone who is serving the greater good, serving the team to see those priorities actually met. When you're working on something together as a couple, if you view your partnership as leverage for you to get more of what you want, to get more financial success or recognition or to move to a direction that you want your family to go, if you are looking at your partnership as something that you are going to get out of it, you're never going to get there. You're set up to fail. You have to view your partnership together as something that you are contributing to as a team, and you have to take the position that says, I'm going to serve in the capacity that I can to see that our dreams and goals and priorities are met. So, when faced with a mountain of priorities, all these different things on the table, the first thing you have to do is you must simplify what they are, and you have to take the position of a servant in order to meet those dreams and goals. This is the first checkpoint that you've got to decide, are you willing to go down this path? Checkpoint number two, the different gifts that you bring. You see, in my family, we get close to dinner, and my wife and I have a staring contest as to who is actually going to get up from whatever we're working on and go make dinner. And I found myself a few nights ago in this very situation. It was around 6 o'clock. My wife and I, neither of us had thought about dinner. And we looked at each other and decided who is going to do what at this point. I drew the short straw. Actually, that's not true. I kind of like whipping it up. I like the challenge. But I decided, hey, I'm going to look in the fridge, look in the freezer. I'm going to pull off something that I'm going to cross my fingers and hope magically makes five people happy at the same time. About 30 minutes later, I'd thrown something together for dinner. And as my daughter was sitting there, just eating dinner by the spoonfuls, she turns to me and she says, "Hey, Dad, how are you just so good at everything?" Now, honestly, I don't think I deserve that much credit about her statement. But in fairness, the prospect of her opening up the fridge and making her own dinner or eating leftovers was greatly improved by what I made for our dinner that night. So I told her, in fact, I'm actually not good at everything. She asked me further, "Dad, but what can't you do?" Well, I quickly and decisively said, "I'll tell you something. There's something I can't do at all. I am a terrible dancer. I have bad rhythm and have no confidence whatsoever. I would rather speak to a room of thousands of people than be in the center of a dance circle at a wedding. That is very true. And the fact that I can't dance, honestly, isn't that big of a deal, except for one fact. My wife is an amazing dancer. She kind of wishes I was a lot better. She was on the dance team at an SEC school in college. She moves like a goddess, and I move like a tree trunk. It's honestly an ability that I will never have. In fact, my wife and I are so different in so many ways, it is laughable. I'm not good at everything, but it seems like the things that I can't do or don't do well, my wife actually has an amazing gift that blesses me and brings so much to our family. And to be fair, my natural skills and abilities are a benefit to her. So what's the point? Why do we share this story? Well, most couples are drawn together for two different reasons. They have similar values. They see the world in a similar way. They care about the similar things, but they actually have completely different gifts or skill sets. They come together because they're a lot better together than they are separate. And honestly, when it comes to a business project or a side hustle goal, what they are going to bring is each a unique perspective and different skill set to the table. Now, if anyone out there has dreams or ambitions about being the next Chip and Joanna Gaines, it's probably not going to happen. However, the partnership that couples have in their relationship is usually built in to a degree to start a business, run something together, so long as they both stay in their lane of gifting. The problem is, we usually have two different ways of looking at our partner's gifts. We either see them as an incredible asset or something that is deeply, deeply annoying. And when it comes to a couple's dreams, their ways of solving problems, attracting new business, developing relationships, or even spending money, they are going to have a very different approach than each other. And you can either see that as an asset or something that is annoying. A couple's differences can either force them to work together and communicate on a deeper level, or each of their gifts and views are going to be invalid and they're going to be ignored and overlooked. So if we're asking the question, can you work together? Can you pull this healthy relationship and successful business off together? Well, my suggestion, my next step for you is to take a small step back and have an honest look at your individual skills and see if they are complementary enough to run a business together. See, the idea of taking an intentional step back is to look at a situation or circumstance differently than you usually do. I know whenever I have been asked to hang a picture on the wall, you get up on the ladder, you climb up there, you can't tell if it's square unless you climb off the ladder and walk to the other side of the room. So an intentional good step for a couple who is already doing this or considering doing this would be to take a small step back and to spend some time learning about each individual person's gifts. Take an assessment, read a book, learn and be purposeful about how each person thinks, operates, works, feels, and then give your strengths a name. Find ways to complement each other when you see the individual gifts that you have working out in a great way. Taking a big step back is going to make you appreciate the contribution that each other makes towards your life and your business instead of being annoyed. You'll see it as an asset when you step back and give it a name. The next step might be a little bit harder. Once you understand it, and once you've given it a name, you've got to stay in your lane, which for a lot of people is really difficult because when it comes to building something together, it requires a lot of trust and humility. If you have a tendency, like me, to try to control everything, that means you don't trust your partner. That means you don't trust their instincts. That means you don't trust your collaboration together. But if you think that you have all the answers and your way is always the right way, you're not actually allowing them to flourish and to use their gifts. It takes trust to stay in your lane. And if we want to continue this metaphor, you have to allow someone else to carry the baton down the path that you are not walking on. You've got to pass it to them for their time, for their gifts, in order for your life and your business to work well. So when it comes to partnering and life and business together, you've got to name and define your individual gifts, and you've got to trust enough to be able to step back and allow the other person to stay in their lane. All right, quick review of our three checkpoints. First, simplify your priorities. Second, have the discipline to stay in your lane. And third, couples like this who are wanting to explore this idea and this life together have to find their own balancing act. You see, this never-ending challenge for work and life balance that we talk about when we have separate lives gets even more blurred and more convoluted whenever our life and our work and our relationships are all thrown together in one big snow globe and just shaken up. Couples like me and my wife, there's very few hard lines between what we call work and what we consider the other parts of our life. There's actually a ton of blending that happens throughout our days and our weeks. And balance is really tricky. Balance is something that you can lose, but we actually oftentimes take it for granted. One of my mentors, early on in my professional career, had a saying, and it stuck with me since the very first time that I heard it. He probably said it to me once a year for 15 straight years because it needed repeating that often. And here's what he would say. He'd say, "Finley, balance is an illusion in time." I'll say it again. Balance is an illusion in time. His point was this. At any given moment, we are out of balance with some other part of our life. While you're away at work, you're not with your family. When you're working out, you're not landing new business clients. When you're enjoying a hobby, you're not spending time with your kids. I think the second part of his statement has always been helpful. If balance is an illusion in time, balance is actually only achieved over a period of time. Over the course of your seasons, you need to have hours, days, weeks, and months where your investment in your body, your mind, your family, and friends and relationships are all each given the priority and the focus that they need. Balance is only achieved over a period of time. So what about couples who work together? The first thing that I would say couples need to know is that blending your worlds together has some pretty significant upside and some downside. What we have found is that riding together in the car, eating a meal, drinking coffee, or even laying in bed, we're present to talk through dreams, plans, strategies, all the different scheduling things that have to happen. But the problem is, we're available actually at a really high frequency to be coworkers on our work. And there's sometimes where I'm just not in the mood to talk about something, but my wife is. She'll bring something up that all of a sudden she feels is super urgent. But for me, I'm going, we can put that off to another time. I'd rather focus on our kid's game or whatever it is right now. We actually got in a fight. We were at a track meet and we were waiting between events the other day. And I wanted to show her something that I had made. And she's like, "Why are you bringing this up right now? I totally should have known better." See, this availability and proximity doesn't always mean that someone is open, either mentally or emotionally, to talk through what it is that you want to bring up. So you have to be aware of that. There's a lot of tension that availability can actually create. So what do you do about it? You have to find the appropriate time and the appropriate space to talk about work things and to talk about family things and to talk about other things. You've got to be able to connect in ways that aren't just centered around your work or your projects together. Each person is going to have their better times of day, their better work hours, and the way in which their mind works, in which they want to talk about the various parts of your relationship and your business together. See, the temptation can be to always be moving the business forward, because it's up to you to do that. But the truth of the matter is your relationship, the relationship part that isn't tied to the business, actually needs space to flourish as well. You've got to put away the laptop and you've got to play with the kids. You've got to have a separate hobby that isn't just the business that you're working on together. You've got to invest in friendships outside of your business world, just in your community, something that isn't transactional, something that brings a deeper kind of grounding or community to your life. You've got to spend time doing things that you enjoy and make sure that your relationship stays alive and isn't just centered around the business that you are building together. You got to connect in different ways than just what you guys are working on. So if you want to find a healthy balance between your work and your life together, you got to know it can only be achieved in the long run over a period of time. And the health and success of both are going to be determined by how much intentional time you set aside for each thing. So back to our original question, is it possible to have a healthy relationship and a successful business that you guys have blended together into this thing that you call your life? I say absolutely. Is it easy? Absolutely not. There are definitely some intentional things that couples need to do in order to make sure and ensure that you don't sacrifice one for the other. You have to understand, you got to simplify your priorities, you got to be disciplined to stay in your lane, and you've got to find your own balancing act that works for you both. Again, it's not for everyone, but I truly believe that it can be done in a way that builds a life, a business, and relationship that brings deep connection and great joy for anybody who wants to jump on this journey together. Well, hope this was helpful, sharing some of our journey and story. And I hope some of our experience was beneficial for anyone who is considering or has jumped into an endeavor like this. If you want to connect any more, I'd be happy to do that. You can find me on pretty much all the social media platforms at Finn, F-I-N Robinson. And then my simple website right now with the various projects that I'm working on is finleyrobinson.com. Our main business is called Be Tribal Fit. You can look it up. Brooke Robinson is my wife's name. She is pretty much the wow factor, but I'm also super biased. Thanks again for having me. Hope this was helpful. And as Pat always says, Team Flynn for the win.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at smartpassiveincome.com. I'm your host, Pat Flynn. Our senior producer is Sarah Jane Hess. Our series producer is David Grabowski. And our executive producer is Matt Gartland. Sound editing by Duncan Brown. The Smart Passive Income Podcast is a production of SPI Media. We'll catch you in the next session. Hey there, and thanks for sticking around to the end. If you're looking for more great shows like this one, definitely give How Success Happens a listen. Another great show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On How Success Happens, Robert Tuckman features some of today's brightest entrepreneurial minds talking about overcoming challenges and viewing them as learning experiences to create success. The challenges that entrepreneurs face are ultimately what make many of us successful, however we define success, and that's what the show is all about. There's lots of names you'll surely recognize on the show every single week. Just recently, Robert had Nasty Gal CEO Sophia Amoruso on the show, and the former CEO of Snapple the week before that, which is really awesome. So listen to How Success Happens right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.